Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Friday's edition of All Subjects Everything. I'm your host, Chris Stevens. Well, we've made it through our last official full week of 2015. Hopefully you guys are ready for the Christmas holiday coming around the corner. If this is your first time tuning in, All Subjects Everything is an internet interactive radio show. You can call in with a question or comment at 661-554-9194. You can also check us out in the Blog Talk Radio Network chat room, as a few of my Steam listeners like to do from time to time. Or if you haven't followed along via Twitter, just use the All Subjects Everything hashtag. And remember, if you can't listen to us live, we're available on iTunes. You can go to the iTunes store, search for All Subjects Everything under podcast, download the shows for free, rate us from 1 star to 5 stars, and write a little review. Let us know what you like, what you don't like, what you'd like to hear us see in future shows, and we will do our very best to accommodate you. And for you smartphone users, All Subjects Everything is available on the Stitcher mobile app. You can download Stitcher to your smartphone. Search for All Subjects Everything there. Take us with you in the car, the gym, the office, wherever you want to get in on the conversation, you are more than welcome to do so. Don't forget to like our Facebook page, facebook.com/AllSubjectsEverything. There you will find show links, updates to what we're working on, and once again, we're trying to turn it into a forum. We actually posted our question of the week yesterday. So if you go to facebook.com/AllSubjectsEverything, you can find a bunch of stuff there pertaining to the show and what we hope to make the show in the coming years. That being said, sorry, I got sidetracked really quickly. Thursday Night Football, not going to talk too much about it because I really didn't watch it, but The St. Louis Rams defeated the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 31-23 last night. That pretty much puts the capper on any playoff hopes the Bucs had. They really had to win to finish, you know, have a shot at 9-7. But, you know, even if they finish 8-8, which would entail them beating Carolina the last day of the regular season, or even if they just go 7-9 or 6-10, it's still a marked improvement from the team that, you know, was awful enough to get the first pick and draft a Jameis Winston. But the Rams, they also had sort of a swan song of sorts as well, because, again, this might be their last, this might have been their last home game before the team takes flight for the Los Angeles Stadium deal, which the NFL has been trying to put in place for God knows how long. But apparently it's just a matter of which two teams are going to be moving to Los Angeles. The Rams probably will be one of those, and it's between the Raiders and the Chargers, and it wouldn't surprise me if by some hook or crook the NFL ended up getting all three in Los Angeles, which would make no sense, really. It just wouldn't make any real, you know, sense to me to put three teams in one stadium, or, you know, unless you have this, you know, this grand two stadium set up to where, you know, they rotate. I don't know. I still don't know the entire plan of it, but it just seems weird to me to have three teams when, you know, at most a city can support two professional sports teams in the same sport. I mean, New York's been able to get away with it with hockey, basketball, football and baseball for God knows how long because it's New York. Same thing can be said for L.A. because, I mean, it's the media market as well. Those are the top two media markets in the country. That, you know, never changes, L.A. and New York. But the NFL hasn't had a team in Los Angeles in over 20 years. The Rams left, and the Rams and the Raiders both left after 1994. Actually, the Raiders left before. The Raiders Raiders' first year back in Oakland was 1994. The Rams' last year in Los Angeles was 1994. So they kind of, you know, were kind of like one team was already out, one team was on the way out. Now you've probably got two coming in at the same time. So it's really going to be interesting to see how that pans out because one team is probably going to have to play at the Coliseum, the other one's probably going to have to play at the Rose Bowl. And then from there, it just gets really, really, you know, complicated as to how much marketing is going to be put into this, you know, new stadium project and how to market these two teams, whichever ones they are, who haven't really been setting the world on fire as of late. If I'm an NFL LA person, like, you know, people in the league that are part of the project, the Raiders absolutely have to be a part of it. And it sucks for Oakland because Oakland's losing everything. I mean, the A's are probably going to leave in a few years. The Warriors already have one foot out the door back across the bay to San Francisco. And now I guess the Raiders are going to be next. But, yeah, the Raiders have the most potential right now. I mean, they already have a bona fide defensive star in Khalil Mack. They've got a face at quarterback in Derek Carr. And, you know, he's got a weapon in Amari Cooper. So that would be the team that I would absolutely have to have be part of this deal is going to L.A. is the Raiders. The Chargers, you know, that's a team, you know, they've just been playing San Diego, you know, sideways for God knows how long. So it appears that the city has not moved a muscle on building a new stadium for the Chargers because they're going to say they're tapped out from building Petco Park for the Padres, which I can see because Petco Park is probably the most beautiful park in Major League Baseball, you know, from the inside. Like, I absolutely love the warehouse setting in left field. If you haven't seen Petco Park, just do a Google search. It's pretty fantastic. And it probably costs a lot of money to put that fantastic setup together. And then for the Chargers to turn around not long after the Padres got a new stadium and asked for one, and more often than not, believe it or not, more people go to Padres games than they do Chargers games. Chargers haven't had a true home field advantage probably since the Junior Seau days, the Junior Seau and LaDainian Tomlinson days. Now, you know, it's just, you know, one of those destinations. It's kind of like turned into what the Arizona Cardinals used to be. You know, when they were the Phoenix Cardinals and playing in Sun Devil Stadium in Tempe, and, you know, Eagles fans would go out there, Cowboys fans would go out there, Redskins fans would go out there, Packers fans would go out there. The Chargers have kind of turned into that now, you know, in San Diego. In L.A., I don't know if that wouldn't happen in L.A., but I don't think it would be as glaring as it is in San Diego. Because L.A. is something you come to expect. San Diego, you know, that's a bit of a shock. You know, you're supposed to have a home field advantage, you know, for the simple fact that you're not LA. So it remains to be seen, you know, how that works out, you know. But it looks like the Rams are going to be one of the teams, like, and then, you know, there's going to be some haggling between if it's the Raiders or the Chargers or both, you know, joining them in LA. So if this was the last home game for the Rams, at least they went out with a win, you know. And Todd Gurley reached the 1,000-yard mark, becoming, I want to say, the fourth Rams running back to do that. Because, let's see, there's Gurley, there's Steven Jackson, and there's Eric Dickerson. Okay, so there's three. There might be another one that I'm forgetting, but Gurley is a guy that you can take the franchise mark, you know, the franchise tag on, you know, make him your guy and just, you know, saddle up on him, because when the Rams were in L.A., Eric Dickerson was the show. And sometimes they'd have a good enough team around and make the playoffs, win a playoff game here and there. So it's really just old things becoming new again, if you will. But as far as, you know, Tampa Bay goes, you can't be too concerned, I mean disappointed, because you weren't really expected to be a playoff team this year anyway, or for a couple of years, but to be in the hunt until a week before Thanksgiving has to be something that you're thrilled about if you're Lovie Smith, considering you're still retooling that defense. You had a rookie quarterback throughout most of, if not all the year, actually the entire year. Jameis was the starter from jump. And the season that he's put together, you know, set the rookie record for, you know, all Tampa quarterbacks. He broke Mike Glennon's only two-year-old record for most touchdown passes by a rookie with 20. He's got over 3,000 yards passing. He's accounted for over 200 yards rushing and 5 touchdowns that way. So Jameis has been as good as advertised. And if you're a Buccaneers fan, you have to be really pleased about the future, because now, you know, the stink has paid off. You have your franchise quarterback. Like, Jameis is going to be the guy in Tampa for 15 years. He should be anyway, barring injury or any other foreseen shenanigans that seem to befall black quarterbacks. And that's pretty much all I got on the game, because, I mean, I didn't watch last night. Anyone lie to you? I was in and out of sleep, and I had my game, and I had my TV on TNT for Cleveland, Oklahoma City. That I can talk a little bit more about. Cleveland won last night by double digits, and it just goes to show you that Cleveland's bigs are just a little bit better than most other teams' bigs, with the rare exception of the San Antonio Spurs. When you can rotate four guys like, you know, like a Kevin Love, like a Tristan Thompson, Aaron Varejao, and Timothy Mozgov, it's hard for anybody to keep up. And that's Oklahoma City with three really good, you know, pivot players of their own in Serge Ibaka, Steven Adams, and Enes Kanter. But four is always better than three. Most teams have a hard time getting two, you know, power forwards and centers together to, you know, rotate in and out. But the Cavs have four. And that gives LeBron the freedom to do what he did last night, 33 points, 11 boards, 9 assists, and bowling over the wife of pro golfer Jason Day. If you missed that bit of, you know, tragic comedy last night, LeBron's going for a loose ball, and he literally bowls over Ellie Day. Now, you put a little bitty woman in front of a fast-running guy at full motion, the build of LeBron, 6'8", 250, you know, not a trace of flab on him. That's not going to feel good for Mrs. Day. It's not going to feel good for Mr. Day. It's not going to feel good for anybody, you know. LeBron is just one of those freaks of nature that comes along every once in a while that you just look at and say, somebody, the force put some, you know, bless this guy. Like if you believe in God, that's on you. If you believe in energy, same thing. You're just universe, karmic, whatever. LeBron's just, you know, built differently than the rest of us, and built differently than the rest of his athletic, you know, compatriots. He's just a big, strapping, muscular, fast son of a biscuit. And unfortunately for Ellie Day, she happened to be in the path of that oncoming son of a biscuit. So it brings the question up. Fellas, are you stepping in front of your lady to take a charge for one, LeBron, Raymond, the Kang, James? Take your time. It's okay. Because I'm thinking about it myself. And mind you, I'm not a small guy. I'm short. Well, I mean short compared to LeBron. LeBron's 6'8", I'm about 5'10". But I'm probably about 25, 30 pounds heavier than LeBron. I still don't know if I'm going to be able to stand in front of him and take a hit and not feel it. I mean, and it wasn't like, you know, he was moving in slow motion and then just slowed down and just kind of bumped her. Like, he, like, you know, he, his momentum carried him so much that he couldn't stop, and he bowled over this woman. Ellie Day, from what we could see before she disappeared underneath the weight of LeBron James, isn't a very, you know, statuesque woman. So, fellas, you taking that hit? I say you got to, if you want peace in your home, and if you love your woman, you'll be able to take that hit, and you'll deal with the pain, so she won't have to get on you about her dealing with the pain. That's what I would think. That's just my general, you know, assumption about how things go. I just wouldn't, you know, be so ready to move out of the way of LeBron if I knew my lady was in, you know, veritable danger. You just gotta, you know, you just gotta take that L while you take it, and then just, you know, deal with the pain later. That's just my, you know, my interpretation of the situation. Not gonna feel good, you know, from a physical standpoint, but, you know, from a peace in your home standpoint, it's much better. It's much better to take that hit. Trust me, it's much better to take that hit. Other than that, though, Cleveland is starting to play, you know, their style of basketball, which is a lot of defense, a lot of rebounding, and a lot of LeBron. Granted, they won't catch Golden State for the best record in the league. Nobody is going to catch Golden State for the best record in the league. I don't think Golden State is going to catch Golden State for the best record in the league. You know, at this point, they're just in a competition with themselves. You know, provided they get to the finals, the road to the championship is going to have at least 3 games in Oakland. Simple as that. But one thing the Cavs can do, you know, in doing themselves a favor, that really didn't bother them last year, but it would really probably help them out a lot this year, is winning the East. You know, in the regular season, getting that first seed. And it looks like they're going to be able to do it because there's really nobody else, you know, that's going to, you know, Atlanta's not going to win 60 again this year. Toronto isn't going to win 60 by any stretch of the imagination. It's just the Cavs, you know, fighting their own division at this point. Because you've got Chicago lurking, and they just won't go away because, you know, they're like the Joe Frazier to LeBron's Muhammad Ali, as the Boston Celtics once were. Now it's the Bulls' turn. Then, of course, you have the young Milwaukee Bucks on the upswing. And the Pistons are playing some pretty good basketball, too. So winning their division is going to be, you know, the toughest thing, because if they can do that, they'll probably, by virtue of everybody else not being as, you know, the divisions being a little bit more close together, you know, the Atlantic and the Southeast, Cavs should have the top seed. And home court advantage would serve, you know, LeBron and them very well rounds 1 through 3. Then, of course, you get to the finals, and then it's either going to be Golden State or San Antonio. Teams that LeBron has had, you know, a bugaboo against, you know, the last 2 teams he lost to in the finals. But last night was kind of, you know, an idea of how the Cavs want to play come June, and that's, you know, you can live with guys like Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook getting off. That's, you know, that's something, you know, you can kind of sort of deal with. But if you can stop, like, Cantor and Waiters and Adams and so on and keep those guys at bay, then you've got a good chance to win. And that's the thing, you know, LeBron and the Cavaliers are going to have to deal with in the finals. I mean, can you stop, you know, like a Danny Green or a Kawhi Leonard, or can you limit an Andre Iguodala or a Draymond Green? Those are the questions they have to ask. Those are the things they have to, you know, kind of sort of figure out as the season progresses. And they're going to get their first real answer a week from tonight, because they will be in Oakland for a rematch of the NBA Finals. On Christmas night. I wanted to say Christmas evening, but it just didn't have the same swing to it. But yeah, Cavaliers Warriors next Friday. Hope nobody asked me to go anywhere with them on Christmas night or do anything other than eat, because I'm going to be parked right in front of my television watching Warriors-Cavs just to see how that turns out. Anything else we want to discuss? I don't know. I feel like, you know, I wanted to really do Christmas wishes, but I'll probably wait until Monday to do that because I want to give you guys time to answer the question. So we're pretty much, I don't want to say out of show, but we're about 7 minutes, 7 or 8 minutes left, and I really don't have anything else left to discuss because we talked about everything I wanted to, you know, mostly talk about. Well, once again, our Facebook page is facebook.com/allsubjectseverything. And the question of the week is, what is your Christmas wish or what are your Christmas wishes? You can, it can be anything. It can be anything. Anything you want. Anything you want. It can be personal. It can be universal, which is probably what I'll be doing. I'll probably be doing a mix of stuff I want to happen for me in 2016 and stuff I want to happen for the world and pop culture in general in 2016. So that's probably where we'll go from there. So it's probably, it's almost time for me to sign off because I'm running out of throat here because I forgot to, you know, drink some water before I hit the air. I was just too busy, you know, running around trying to get everything done for my freelance assignment tonight. So if it sounds like I'm scratchy, that's exactly what's going on. You know, just doing a lot of running around. I forgot to drink some water. And then, I mean, my voice is just like, Chris, enough. You've done it. You made it through Friday, at least 20 minutes of Friday. It's time to go. So we'll sign off. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to this edition of All Subjects Everything. Greatly appreciate your time. If you missed us live, blogtalkradio.com/Chris Stevens on air. That's ChrisStevensOnAir. iTunes, All Subjects Everything. Same thing. And those are separate words, by the way. You know, ALLSUB. JECTSEVERYTHING. Same thing for Stitcher Mobile, and the Facebook page is all one word, All Subjects Everything. Just put it all together. Like those pages, subscribe to the podcast and Stitcher and iTunes, and just, you know, get the word out. You know, 2016 is going to be our fifth anniversary. Our fifth anniversary is January 5th. I'm hoping by then I can at least start doing hour-long shows again. So y'all be on the lookout for that. If not, then we'll just do a 30-minute, you know, anniversary special. Then probably around, probably say middle of February, early March, we'll probably get back to the whole 90-minute thing. 90 minutes to an hour, you know, once a week. But just wanting to get on for a week was just, you know, just starting to do a show every day so you guys can have something to listen to. Something, you know, to hear me talk about. And then we'll get back to, you know, the evening shows where you guys can call in, sit in the chat room, and vibe with us. Okay, now we're signing off. Thank you for listening to us this week. Y'all enjoy your weekend. Y'all get that Christmas shopping done. Don't beat the hell out of each other doing it. And until Monday, when we'll probably just do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday shows, and maybe we'll do another Friday show. But if this is our last Friday for 2015, I want to thank y'all for listening. And until Monday, y'all be good. Be good at it.